Capitalism and racism, white fragility hurts white people too. Amen, 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 amen. It undermines the authority and integrity of the spirit and soul. And then finally, other calling yourself something other than white, amen. So let's generate that so that everybody can be able to deconstruct what that whiteness might mean and then rename it in a renaming ceremony that will make this nation a better place. Thank you all so very much. All right.
That was Michael Eric Dyson on white privilege. He spoke at Town Hall in Seattle. Michael Eric Dyson is university professor at Georgetown. Among his many books are April 4th, 1968, The Black Presidency, and Tears We Cannot Stop. This program is produced by Alternative Radio based in Boulder, Colorado. We are independent and part of the nonprofit media education organization, Rise Up. We are supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature progressive voices rarely heard in the media, such as Kianga Yamata Taylor, Angela Davis, Arun Gupta, Richard Wolff, Ralph Nader, Bill McKibben, and Chris Hedges. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Michael Eric Dyson on White Privilege, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
The time is 10:01. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Chris Andre. She's hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, we have Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on stage and studio, DMA Roberts welcomes Bag and Baggage Productions and the Northwest premiere of Bronte. At 11:30, Art Focus speaks to Beresford Booth from the Portland Art Museum about the current exhibition, Constructing Identity. Today's weather, still cloudy, still rainy, with light winds, temps in the 40s. Stay warm, everybody. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not already a member, but you would like to become one, please do so, and go to kboo.fm and click on the red donate button.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. This month, because of the membership drive, the Program Advisory Committee will meet Tuesday, February 21st at 6 p.m.
morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at and your sanctuary radio and alt radio or Cascadia at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Well, Colleen Rowley will be joining us this morning. After September 11th, FBI agent Colleen Rowley made the FBI director aware of DC headquarters' failure to respond to information regarding a suspected terrorist. And we all know what happened after that. Just to get the ball rolling here, Colleen Rowley has never stopped. She's been a whistleblower ever since, and indeed a watchdog, keeping close tabs on what the national security agencies are up to. So that said, let's have a little bit of weather first. I don't know about you, but I had a lot more than a little bit of weather recently. But today, rain, indeed, yes, bucketing down, highs around 48, and light 6 to 10 mile per hour wind for tonight. There's a chance of showers. I'd say it's pretty likely. Lows around 36, and for tomorrow, rain persisting, continuing, torrenting down, mainly later in the morning. Cloudy skies with a high around 46, and light variable winds. And tomorrow night, same thing, pretty much. Temperatures in the low 30s, around 33, and light southeast winds. That's it for your weather, for your Cascadia. This is where we take a stand. People yesterday were out in the streets taking a stand, and for Not My President's Day. This is important. It's only a matter of time how long Trump and his minions can avoid the reality that was news. What news has turned into is an out of control monster that is going to eat us alive if we aren't vigilant. It's a simple truth. And so Not My President's Day reminds the general public when they find themselves halted in downtown Portland, not traffic locked up, but that there are people who are seeing things clearly, even if they are locked into Breitbart News and Fox, as they are. Take a look at some of these. These alt type news websites. It's alarming. It's truly alarming. I'm bringing in tomorrow a list of some of the stories of the stellar fake news examples that are abundant right now all across every form of media. But the real story today is NSA, and NSA pretty much everywhere. We have recently seen the appointment of Colonel McMaster as the head of the National Security, National Security Advisor, and we have our own Representative Earl Blumenauer, who's calling for a mental health evaluation of the president. So between these two polls, there are secrets galore, and if we have fake news proliferating on all sides, we certainly would have perhaps even fake leaks. It's very difficult to know these days what is real. And even if the real is real anymore, we're indeed in a surreal universe. And joining us this morning, though, to sort it out, Colleen Rowley. Colleen, thank you very, very much for being with us. Colleen is, as many listeners know, former FBI agent, whistleblower, also a politician. After, as we said before, after September 11th, Rowley submitted a document to the FBI then-director, Robert Mueller, stating our personnel at DC headquarters failed to respond to information provided by the Minneapolis field office. What worries me is, in a universe of fake news and fake reports and fake leaks, if Colleen Rowley or someone else like her with the courage to do what she did came forward with something, how would we know it? We don't know what's real anymore. So a tip-off of a huge attack that was imminent, would that be, how would it be construed? We don't know. We're definitely in an alternative universe. Colleen, thanks for being with us today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
What do you think of McMaster, Trump's finally the default NSA advisor? What's your opinion of him, and is he likely to?
I had personally never heard of him before, but he is well known in the in the Pentagon and in the military.
He's a military guy. Yeah,
he's a military guy, and he looks like he's very much in the mold of Mattis. You know, they're both hardcore. I suppose you could say George C. Patton type. Mm-hmm. You know, killing is in their blood. Masters is called a strategist, a military strategist. Now, this is a break from Flynn, and I think it should be of concern to people that, and this is where I think it's gone wrong. Our veteran intelligence professionals for sanity called for evidence. When you just said, how do we know the truth? How do we know fake and whatever? Well, here's a clue. When officials put things out, and certainly this includes anonymous officials, these are not whistleblowers. When the news writes anonymous officials, these are people at the very top. They could be former Obama administration officials like CIA Director Brennan or Clapper, who by the way, were caught in lies, outright lies. But some of them were former officials. The news even said former officials. So these are not whistleblowers. Whistleblowers tend to be lower-level people who are just doing the right thing for the public. The people at the top who are leaking are people that definitely have agendas, and they're politically motivated. I'm not the only one to say this. Glenn Greenwald, even Dennis Kucinich. There's been quite a few of us in our veteran intelligence professionals for sanity called for evidence. Okay, it's a clue when the officials come out and they give you a conclusion. There's been this terrible Russian hacking, but we can't tell you the evidence we have. If you go back even like a few years ago, they said there's this terrible sarin attack that Assad is responsible for, but we can't tell you how we know. So this has been the case now many times. And I would say that that's a clue. At the very least, now, it certainly could be true that they have evidence, but when they will not release it, most people, and especially our mainstream media, should be very skeptical, and they should not repeat these things verbatim as if they are the truth, when in fact they haven't really seen the verification or the corroboration, the evidence itself. And I think that's where we're at right now with these allegations of Russian meddling in the election. And unfortunately, here's the problem. It does seem to have pushed Trump to picking more hardcore war hawks. Flynn was a war hawk on Iran, but he was not a war hawk on Russia or Syria. In fact, it looks like Flynn, you know, he has a lot of bad things about him because he definitely wanted to go to war with Iran. He had a real bias and a real stupidity about Iran. But it looks like Mattis was the one who held Obama back from bombing Syria and getting even more heavily involved in Syria. So there's a lot of these things are very mixed, and it requires a lot of discernment. You can't paint things with a broad brush. I think I would be concerned now that Trump has actually been pushed, both by Democrats and by the neocons, into more of a war hawk stance. You know, he's being criticized as wanting, you know, peace with Russia and whatever, and it's served to push him into more of a war hawk stance, and I think that might be one of the reasons why he picked this McMaster.
You think he actually did, though? In the last minute, I guess, less than a minute we have, I always wonder, Trump doesn't know who McMaster is. He's probably never heard of him until the weekend when somebody managed to get through to him. Just, I wonder, though, who do you, is there someone in the NSA or any one of the national security agencies that is actually behind the scenes calling the shots and pushing Trump? Because Trump doesn't know any of this stuff. I don't think, of course not.
You know, he's been, his one advisor that he listens to is Stephen Bannon of the Breitbart, formerly of Breitbart, which is far right. So that's the one person he listens to. He was listening to Flynn because Flynn was one of his top advisors. It's not clear how much of the second layer of intelligence, you know, these would be the career professionals who are giving stuff. You know, that's just started. It's only been a month, so we really don't know if he's disregarding the intelligence coming from the agencies now. He has called the prior conclusions. These were the conclusions in October and even after the election about the Russian hacking interfered with the election and helped elect him instead of Hillary Clinton. He has called that stuff, you know, junk and nonsense. He's labeled that a bunch of things. But it's not clear how much he's listening or not listening to current intelligence coming. As long now, you know, again, there's been a, we caught this at a moment between administrations.